Here is a shop in the northeastern English town of Darlington.
Hi.
Hello, Sean. How are you
Indeed
doing?
It is.
Nice to meet you.
It's a
very nice to meet
pleasure
you.
Pleasure to meet you too, Manny.
It sells an eclectic mixture of exotic furniture, curios and musical instruments from across the globe. And in a room out back is where the Arthur Wharton Foundation has been set up by the shop's owner, Sean Campbell.
The picture that I'm looking at now is a picture of Arthur with the Cleveland Challenge Cup, which Darlington Football Club won in 1887. This photograph shows a very strong, physically able young man wearing what looks like welding gloves. And it's Arthur with his teammates. He looks... you wouldn't mess about with him.
Well, I doubt Arthur will have been expecting the wind and rain of northern England when he set sail from the coast of West Africa. He was born in Jamestown, which is now the Ghanaian capital of Accra, to a Grenadian father and a mother who was a princess of the Fante people of Western Africa. Wharton came to England as a teenager to train as a preacher, but he soon got bored of that and instead decided to break barriers in sport.
The world's first black professional footballer, the world's first ever 100-yard record holder, which he ran in 10 seconds at Stamford Bridge in 1886. He was a professional cricketer throughout all of his working life. He played both codes of rugby and he was a British cycling champion. Fancy that, Darlington Football Club put the fastest man in the world in goal.
In recognition of his achievements, there's a statue of Wharton at the headquarters of the Football Association at Wembley Stadium and at FIFA in Zurich, with UEFA's offices in Nyon set to be his next destination. But Wharton's legacy wouldn't be realised for nearly a century after his debut, as Sean Campbell explains.
It was in 1886 when the people of Darlington called for Arthur to play for England. 91 years later, our patron, Viv Anderson, became the first black player to play for England.
Cross comes in from the far side. Anderson! Goal for England! Viv Anderson's second only goal for England. England 2, Yugoslavia 0.
When you talk of it in those terms, yes, it's quite a long time. Everybody championed Arthur Wharton to be the first black international player, but the powers that be at the time wouldn't recognise the people that were making the noises. So it took 91 years for a black player, which is, happens to be me, to make his debut for his country, which is quite a sad indictment, really, I think. There was lots of made of it. There was interviews with my mum and dad, get a letter from the Queen, which doesn't happen every day, of course. But for me, it was just tunnel vision. It was about the performance on the night. He stayed in the North East, which is never the easiest place to live. I mean, at my second game, I remember playing Newcastle away and went out to look at the pitch and the abuse I got just looking at the pitch. That's before the game even started. So I remember going back into the dressing room and saying to my manager at the time, the great Brian Clough, saying that, listen, I don't think I can play tonight. He says, why? He says, well, all these people are giving me abuse. He says, you're playing.
Wharton was famous for his eccentricity. He would apparently crouch at one end of the goal and then rush out to meet the oncoming strikers head on. Goalkeepers in the very early days of football had absolutely no protection from the physical attentions, shall we say, of their opponents. But that seems to be a battle that Wharton rather relished.
In a match between Rotherham and Sheffield Wednesday at Olive Grove, I saw Wharton jump, take hold of the crossbar, catch the ball between his legs and cause three onrushing forwards, Billy Ingham, Clinks Mumford and Mickey Bennett, to fall into the net. I've never seen a save like that since, and I've been watching football for over 50 years. T.H. Smith, letter to the Sheffield Telegraph and Independent, January 12th, 1942.
But his eccentric behaviour certainly wasn't to everyone's tastes.
From the Athletic Journal, 29th of October, 1887. Good judges say that if Wharton keeps goal for Preston North End in their English Cup tie, the odds will be considerably lengthened against them. I am of the same opinion. Is the darkie's pate too thick for it to dawn upon him that between the posts is no place for a skylark? By some, it's called coolness. Bosh!
The N-word was used back then. He was known affectionately as Darkie Wharton. There was a wonderful description of Arthur as man with a pronounced complexion, which I thought was rather gentlemanly.
He was buried in an unmarked grave, a pauper's grave, here in Edlington, in the northern town of Doncaster. His tombstone wasn't actually erected until the late 1990s, and there are a couple of nice inscriptions. One of them says, "An athlete he ran, like an express train with full steam on, from first till last," and right at the bottom of his tombstone, "The dust of his toil laid traces that will never be covered."